morning. Pastor Alicia and I worked together on putting the services together. And this week she sent me two of the scriptures that were suggested in the lectionary for today. One was from Revelation and the other was the Isaiah passage we just heard. Both scriptures describe that moment when humanity realizes whose image they have been formed in and discovers the possibilities of living out that heritage. I suggested the Isaiah passage for three reasons. First, as Beth mentioned, because of the murders of the Tree of Life synagogue, it suggested to me we take the perspective of our Jewish brothers and sisters who have been made to feel so vulnerable in our society, and to use a reading from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. Second, its vision is not one of separating humanity into good and bad, sheep and goats, heaven and hell, but rather it's a vision for all nations, all people understanding their common humanity and their common creator. Third, there aren't as many strange heavenly beings and goings on to explain as there are in Revelation. That just takes too much time. So let's take this apart a little bit. It takes place on a mountain. Mountains are sacred places where people feel closer to God. Moses went up the mountain. Abraham went up the mountain. Altars were built and sacrifices were offered on mountains. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I have been to the mountaintop." How many of you have had a mountaintop experience? Are we really closer to God or just farther from the noise of everyday life? There is something special about it. There's something powerful in the sense of being unquestionably connected and grounded to the goodness and being, beauty of the created world. God sets a banquet on this mountain for all people. Food rich and succulent, and fine aged wines. All I can think of is a place on my bucket list, the Nordic Lodge Buffet in Rhode Island, that offers lobster and king crab and just about every other succulent that you can imagine for only $98 a person. And if you don't like lobster, here's dessert. This table that God sets is not just one of sustenance. It's one of overflowing abundance. Every need is met and exceeded. God loves us deeply and has given us, humanity, the opportunity to love God back. Unfortunately, we haven't always done real well at that. The next line is my favorite. God will remove the mourning veil covering all people, the shroud covering the nations, destroying death forever. Notice the wideness of this vision. All nations, all peoples. This vision offers us hope of personal salvation and redemption, but as a part of the redemption of the human race, everybody together. We are individually culturally covered in so many shrouds. The seven deadly sins pretty much summarize how we separate ourselves from God and from each other. Pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. I see these all every day on Facebook. In this vision of Isaiah, God casts aside the shroud, the grave clothes, the defeated attitudes that are holding us back, individually and collectively, from accepting God's love. God lifts the veil, takes away our shame, our feeling of not good enoughness, embraces us, and dries the tears on our cheeks. Why are we crying? We're crying because people walk into places of worship and kill people. We are crying because people of color are attacked for going about their daily life. We're crying because LGBTQ youth are committing suicide. We're crying because the poor are being blamed for the excesses of the rich. We cry because our country has turned its back on the rest of the world. We are crying because people are starving in Yemen and people are losing their island homes in the Pacific. We're crying because we can't always find the goodness that God sees in us. Psalm 30, our scripture from last week, had a wonderful line. You changed my mourning into dancing. You took off my funeral clothes and dressed me up in joy. How can we be dressed up in joy in these times? How can the nations and peoples come to see their common connection to the divine in these times? How do we stop crying? We can stop crying because we believe these words in front of us. Yahweh has spoken. Yahweh has set the table. Yahweh waits with open arms for us individually and collectively. This is the one that we have waited for to deliver us. We stop crying because we believe that there is a better place on God's mountain for everybody, with everybody. This past week has been one of love and hate, light and darkness, embracing and pushing away, and many lessons learned. Pastor Alicia has been reflecting on these lessons for herself and for us.
Yesterday, we hosted two memorial services for two powerhouse women, Rosemary DeHogue and Mary Klepper. Both women fought for the country and the earth so that their grandchildren and others would have a better place yet to come. Whether it was rights of women or for rights of persons of color or the environment, just to name a few, they were pushing the limits and making people be included in all kinds of ways. At Mary Klepper's celebration of life, we sang, "Let there be peace on earth." Both women longed for peace on earth. Peace on earth, and let it begin with me. The Isaiah text refers to individuals and the collective peace yet to come. It has to start somewhere. So let it begin in each and every one of us. As we have had a very sad and challenging year and so many people passing away that were just namesakes in our church, let us keep in prayer Brown Memorial United Methodist Church, because they have buried people in their community who have died in house fires, and a child on a sidewalk, and people being shot and killed. So as we mourn our losses, let us also be in prayer with our brothers and sisters at Brown Memorial United Methodist Church. On Friday in our Jonah study, On Friday in our Jonah study, we wrestled with the idea of forgiving or accepting groups of people who are hateful or mean. After quite a discussion, we decided it's up to each of us to be the most loving Christian, even to people we disagree with. We reminded each other of the hymn, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Last Saturday morning, I was watching the news and saw that there was an active shooter in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. And I just didn't know what to do, so I emailed my two rabbi friends and said, "I'm praying for you and your community, and let me know if there's anything I can do." And about midweek, they emailed me back and invited me to, well, Rabbi Feldman invited me to the Shabbat service on Friday night, and I was so honored to be invited, I made every effort to be there. And when I arrived, I made my way to Rabbi Feldman, and he reached out his arms to hug me, and I hugged him back, and we just looked at each other. We didn't have to say anything. After a moment, he said, "Thank you for coming, And I showed him the cards that the children made and some adults made. And he was so moved. And he said, could you please give those to the president of the synagogue? She's right over there. So I made my way over there. And I told her that children and adults had from our church had made these cards for them to know that they were loved by us. And she welled up with tears and she said that it meant so much to her and the community and that she would share them with everyone. 100 years ago, this would have been so rare or maybe even unheard of or not done. We have come so far in love and respect for one another's faith traditions and beliefs. In our Isaiah text, it says, Yahweh, God, has set a table. And it is growing larger and larger and larger. Yesterday was a very emotional day. We have had a lot of loss this year in our church family. And as I think about the loss, it can get so overwhelming. But then I think about the lives we've lost, and we have learned so much from each of them. And that includes those who have lost that were a part of our church family, but also people we have lost within our families outside the church. A piece of them continue in each of us, and God's table is set, and it continues to expand. And I would just like to take a moment to publicly thank everyone who helped make yesterday's memorial services go so smoothly. It takes a village to do all things. And I know our friends Rosemary and Mary would have been so pleased. The truth is, none of us can do it alone. And when I say it, I mean life. Yahweh, God's table is expanding even more. A table for those who have gone before us, for each of us, and for those who come after us. Today we're going to close our worship with a hymn called Amazing Grace. The hymn was written by a captain of a slave ship who changed his ways and quit his job. And when he knew he had done wrong, he finally turned toward God. And when he realized God could forgive even him, and that he was loved by God, he penned the lyrics of Amazing Grace. The thing is, God is ready and waiting for each of us to turn toward God and accept this unending love. We can find hope in knowing that people like a captain of a slave ship can change their ways, repent, and accept God's love that it can even happen to anyone and any group who have lost their way. This grace is available to each and every one of us. We need to say yes to God and accept God's love and say we will spend our entire life sharing that love, God's love, to the best of our abilities. And so today when we sing Amazing Grace, know that this grace we sing of is for you and it's for me. Yahweh, God's table is a table of hope and it continues to expand to include all. Amen.